Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We are in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 today. And this is our third study in the book of Matthew. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Jesus walked about 60 miles to be baptized by John. And it says in verse 14, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? John knew that Jesus didn't have any sins to be repenting of, and so John was embarrassed to baptize Jesus. He knew that Jesus was a better man than he, so he wanted Jesus to baptize him. 15, but Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And just notice that Jesus did not say, Ah, John, what you say isn't true, I'm not that good. Jesus said, John, do it, because it is the right thing to do. 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Some people didn't believe that the Bible, or I should say this, some people don't believe that the Bible teaches that God is a Trinity. Well, the Son is in the water, the Holy Spirit is descending in the form of a dove, and the Father is quoting Psalm 2, verse 7, and Isaiah 42, verse 1, from up in heaven. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus will be tempted from the outside, not from the inside. He will be tempted from the outside source, Satan. The devil will come to Jesus with several suggestions that are out of God's will. And so, Jesus could be tempted from an outward source like Satan, but Jesus never was tempted from within, because he didn't have a fallen sin nature like you and I do. Remember, he's the Son of God. And it says in verse 2, And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. I suppose he would be. When a fast gets to about 38 days or so, your body literally begins to starve to death. And it was at this point of weakness and tremendous hunger that the devil hits Jesus right where it hurts, with a powerful temptation involving food. 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Satan is clearly alluding to the Father's words to Jesus at his baptism, when he said, This is my Son. And Satan is not saying, Oh, I don't believe you're God's Son, Jesus, prove it. He is saying, You're God's Son. I know you are, Jesus, so go ahead and use your power to make some bread. I mean, God is supposed to be good, I guess. Surely he wants his Son that he loves so much to be happy, so go ahead and do it. 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Satan was suggesting that Jesus should make bread and eat, because after all, you have to live. In essence, Jesus' response was, no, I don't have to live. I have to obey God. 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Satan is saying, ignore God's will and exalt yourself for a change, Jesus. Jump off this building, Jesus, because the Bible says that God will protect the Messiah. And so you see, when you jump and the angels catch you, everyone will hear about it, and you will become famous. They'll make you king, you have it made. Just take the shortcut to fame. Get out of God's will in order to exalt yourself. That was the temptation. 7. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. God did promise to protect the Messiah, but that promise assumed that the Messiah would be walking in the will of God. To get out of God's will and then demand his protection would be to tempt God, and Jesus would not do it. Verse 8, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Unless this mountaintop was orbiting the earth out in outer space, it would be impossible for Jesus to physically see the whole earth. Satan clearly showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth, and he clearly did it through some kind of a vision. He has the power to create visual images. Verse 9, and he said to him, all these things I will give you. And in a way, the world does belong to Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls him the God of this age. And it's not that he owns the earth. God owns it, but Satan influences most of the people here. Verse 9 again. It says, he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. This offer would be laughable if it wasn't so wicked. I mean, how stupid does Satan think Jesus is? And he's going to fall down and worship the devil? Verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus shot down all three of these temptations by speaking the scriptures that contradicted those temptations. Nothing has changed. The scriptures have not lost any power. They are all you need to defeat any temptation you are hit with today. Just quote the right scripture and stick a dagger in the heart of that temptation, whatever it might be. 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The devil can tempt you, but he cannot get the best of you if you resist him with the word of God. Now, you may have to resist him for a while like Jesus did, but eventually he will get tired of losing and he will move on. 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. Remember, John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. John had pointed Jesus out to the crowds, and he said, there, that Jesus, he's the Messiah, follow him. Well, the leadership rejected John the Baptist, the religious leadership in Israel rejected John the Baptist, which is one of the reasons that he is in prison here. And if they rejected John, it's only a matter of time before they also rejected the one that John pointed out. Consequently, Jesus heads up north, and he's going to reach out to the Gentiles. Verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. Jesus ministered in his hometown of Nazareth for a while. He ministered there actually until the population tried to kill him for saying that God would save some Gentiles as well as some Jews. Now that was Jesus' cue to leave. And he went east just a little ways to Capernaum, which actually became his adopted hometown. 14, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Jesus left southern Israel after John the Baptist was put in prison. He left Nazareth after the people there tried to kill him. He ended up in Capernaum, where he did a lot of miracles. You say, boy, the devil sure messed up Jesus' plans, causing him to move from place to place. No, Jesus was right on schedule. He was fulfilling Scripture. 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus picked up where the imprisoned John left off. Jesus, like John the Baptist, preached that repentance is needed in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Don't listen to anybody who tells you that you don't need to repent. 18. And repentance, by the way, is always connected to sin. It's not just the change of mind of who Jesus is. It is a turning away from sin. 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And this is actually the second time Jesus talked with Peter and Andrew. The first time occurred down in Judea. This one occurred in northern Israel in Galilee. And let's look at verse 19. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus commanded them to do one thing. He said, follow me. Not just follow him wherever he goes, but follow his character. Follow his attitude and his holiness. If they focus on that, Jesus will see that they are used to catch souls for heaven. 20. They immediately left their nets and followed him. And so they were committed and devoted to Jesus, and for that reason they didn't waste any time. They walked away from their source of income because Jesus asked them to. 21. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. James and John left more than their family business. They left their father. Following Christ isn't always just a choice to do good and not do bad. Sometimes it means turning away from good and doing something even better. And sometimes we have to give up good things, like good times with family, in order to be obedient to Christ. We'll pick up our study in chapter 4, verse 23 next time. Until then, so long everyone.